Again, thank you so much for praying for us as we were at camp, away at camp. There's something special about sleeping in the same area, taking showers in the same area with about 25 dudes. Just something special about that, I'm telling you, for a whole week. Right? Yeah. And, when we got home Friday night, got in my shower. Oh, but, just my shower and no stuff on the floor, Got in my bed and I leaned back and I said, freedom! Freedom! Freedom. Started understanding that word a little bit more. We're in a series called Freedom, but we're not really talking about that kind of freedom. We're talking about the freedom that comes when you step into a personal forever relationship with your Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. The freedom that comes from that, the forgiveness of sins past, present, and future. The freedom from, just the stuff that kind of holds you bondage sometimes. We're learning about that kind of freedom. And it's a sub-study of the book of Galatians, and it's an incredible book because right in the heart of what is now modern-day Turkey, Paul plants this great church, and he gets it going and gets it headed in the right direction. And right after he leaves, some Jewish Christians who had really not got their understanding of the, their doctrine grounded, they come behind Paul and they start telling these Gentile Christians that they weren't doing some things quite right. And they begin to move them back to the Judaism kind of demands and rules. And that's why our theme verse is Galatians 5:1 that says this. Paul says, it is for freedom that Christ has set us free. Stand firm then, and do not let yourselves be burdened again by a yoke of slavery. You're free. And so Galatians is this corrective letter to the church on how to stay free, how to keep the right perspective of the gospel. Galatians was written, therefore, to refute those Judaizers, the extreme Jewish Christians, and call believers back to the pure gospel, to the good news that is for all people, Jews and Gentiles alike, that salvation is by God's grace through faith in Christ Jesus and nothing else, nothing else. So I'd love for you to go back and look at the last 3 weeks. The first week we talked about that. Paul says, hey, you're starting to follow a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. And he begins to share. We talked about the right gospel, that the right gospel is about Jesus versus everything having to be about me, myself, and I. That the right gospel is about receiving his love versus me trying to get his approval and proving myself to him. That the right gospel is internal desire versus external stuff. And we can experience that freedom by choosing to fall in love with him every day, choosing life and choosing freedom. And in the second week, Paul talked about this crucified living. Galatians 2:20 says, I've been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. Paul says, the life I live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. And we talked about that this crucified life calls us, and if we're going to experience this freedom, that we live this crucified life that calls us to die daily to self and sin and stuff, to begin to live by choices and not by feelings, to live by principles, not by pressure, to live out your convictions that come from God's Word. And then last week, we talked about this life of freedom that comes from Jesus Christ is amazing. In fact, in order to experience this freedom, we have to receive this amazing grace gift from God. This gift from God is free. That it's received only by faith, for it is by grace you have been saved through faith. And this is not of yourselves, it's the gift of God. Not by works, so that no one can boast. It's only received by faith, by stepping and saying yes and receiving that grace gift. It's available to everyone, but it only comes through Jesus Christ, and it's extended throughout all eternity. It's his amazing grace. We look at Titus 2, One of my favorite passages of Scripture, it says, "For the grace of God has appeared that offers salvation to all people." It teaches us to say no to ungodliness and worldly passions and to live self-controlled, upright, and godly lives in this present age while we wait for the blessed hope, the appearing of the glory of our great God and Savior, Jesus Christ. And I shared with you last week that it doesn't let you off the hook or you can live any way you want to live. No, it changes you from the inside out. And I said that grace is when what you ought to do becomes what you really want to do. That's the grace of God. Well, today, if you have your Bibles, you can turn to Galatians 3. We're going to end up in the last few verses of Galatians 3 and then kind of move into Galatians 4. Today, Paul gives us one of the most, I think, important truths that really holds all of these weeks together. And it's that, and that is this, this idea of relationship. And if you don't have this component, you will never experience the freedom he wants you to experience. I've titled the message, "Freedom Comes from Relationship." And honestly, if I had one message to preach, you know, if I just was going to preach one more time, you know, one more message to share, it would be on this subject. That God never intended to be your religion. He wants to be in relationship with you. Galatians 3, look at verse 26. It says, "For you are all children of God, sons and daughters of God, through faith in Christ Jesus." It's a relationship. It's this spirit relationship that changes your life. Move on down to Galatians 4 and look at verse 4. Paul says, "But when the right time came, God sent his son, born of a woman, subject to the law. God sent him to buy freedom for us who were slaves to the law, so that he could adopt us as his very own children. And because we are his children, God has sent the Spirit of his Son into our hearts, prompting us to call out, 'Abba, Father.' Now you are no longer a slave, but God's own child. And since you are his child, God has made you his heir." A miracle happens, and you become his child. It happens in your heart. You know, in your hearts, that the Spirit, you know, of His Son, Jesus, in us, the Spirit cries out, "Abba, Father." And this would have been completely foreign to this group of people because God was to them a distant God, right? A God to be feared. You remember in the Old Testament, you touch the Ark of the Covenant and you'll get fried, right? It will fry you. But Paul is saying, no. He wants to be, Jesus wants to be, God wants to be your Abba Father, your daddy, your papa, in a close relationship with him. So you are no longer a slave, but his child. And since you are his child, God has also made you an heir. And I think sometimes we operate, or we go back into this slave attitude when it comes to God. That we are his slave. He is our master. But listen, he wants us to be his children. And so let's look at that difference, right, between a slave and a child. All right? First of all, a slave has a master, right? He is always demanding of you. He seems to be always mad at you. You know, we come to him and we fall on our face out of fear. I share with you several times in this series that, you know, God to me growing up was this Wizard of Oz kind of image. You know, they were always saying, "What do you want?" Right? And, you know, I'd say, "I want to, you know, I want to go home," or then go get the witch's broom, right? "Prove your worth before I can grant your wish." And same kind of relationship I had growing up. "What do you want?" I want to go to heaven. "Then memorize the book of Proverbs." That's not the relationship he wants. not a slave, not a master relationship. The difference is a child has a father. Jesus was a magnet to kids. You read those stories with Jesus, and they just would come straight to him when they would see him. He's a magnet. Because when I was growing up, there was a dude in our church, an old man in our church, and he was a magnet for kids. Who everybody, I mean, right after church, everybody, you know why he was a magnet? He had candy in his pocket. That's right. You ever had that guy? And kids were just like, that's when we started having mints. We didn't want anybody to get hurt. You know, we just put mints everywhere. Jesus was, you know, not what Hollywood depicts him so much, you know, so serious. Always so serious, right? Doing that curveball thing or whatever he would do, you know, in the movies. No, Jesus loved people. Children wanted to be in relationship with Jesus. Romans 8 says it this way, "So you have not received a spirit that makes you fearful slaves. Instead, you received God's Spirit when He adopted you as His own children. Now we call Him Abba, Father, for His Spirit joins with our spirit to affirm that we are God's children." Abba, Father. You know, throughout Scripture, there are many different names used to describe God. And while all the names of God are important in many ways, the name Abba, Father, I think is one of the most significant names of God in understanding how He relates to people. The word Abba is an Aramaic word that means father. It was a common term that expressed affection and confidence and trust. Abba signified this close, intimate relationship of a father and his child, as well as a childlike trust that a young child puts in his daddy. And sometimes it seems almost irreverent to address God, who is seen by many as distant, in such an intimate and loving way. But this is what Jesus dared to do, and it's what He dares us to do. That is to have an intimate, loving relationship with Almighty God. And so there's this word Abba, meaning daddy, the most endearing way to talk to your dad. My boys, you know, Jacob, my youngest, he calls me dad or daddy, right? My oldest, Hunter, he calls me daddy-o. You know, every time on the phone, how's it going, daddy-o? How's it going? You can always determine the relationship a person has with someone by what they call them, right? The Spirit Himself testifies with our spirit that we are God's children. So when you pray, what do you call God? What name do you use for Him? And Paul says he wants you to call Him Daddy. And for some of us, that's a little uncomfortable to call God Daddy for, you know, many reasons, maybe. You know, maybe the way you were raised. You know, some people call me different names. If they don't know me very well, right, if they don't know me at all, really, they might call me Reverend Davis. I'm going, who? I got funeral directors that'll do that. Reverend Davis, you want to stand over here? And I'm going, where's he at? What? Right? They don't know me very well. Others call me Pastor Monty, but most call me Monty. If you know me really good, you know you're allowed to call me Virg, short for Virgil. People will ask, well, what do you want me to call you? And I say, I don't, you know, I just want you to call me. Right? I don't need a title. I want you to call me by the most endearing name you can. The way you call determines the relationship. And when you find your identity in Christ, He changes your name. You go from a creation to His child. And when I found my identity in Christ, you know, my life didn't necessarily change overnight, but my name in God's book changed. It wasn't like He said, you are no longer Monty Davis, that now you are Heavenly Possum. He didn't say that, right? He didn't say that. That wasn't it. He didn't say, I'm going to call you Angel Monty. No, that wouldn't work. It wouldn't work at all. Or believing Virgil. No, I'm still Monty Davis. But I moved from creation to child. I'm a child of God. Here's another way. Here's another difference. A slave is an employee, right? You ever been to a restaurant and, the waitress is taking forever to get to your table or maybe even to sit you, and there's all kind of empty tables and, the waitress is talking to their best friend over here or, talking to the dude waiter and, and you're going, okay, hey, I'm sitting here, right? I'm ready, right? But they don't have the best interest of the company in mind. They're just, it's just a job, right? But if the hostess happens to be the owner, there's a difference, right? If she or he owns the business, she's making sure she's got every table filled, right? He wants every table filled. So if that's the relationship you have with God, that you work for Him, then you will not see this Christianity as being part of the family, as part of the family business, the family of God. It will change the relationship completely. But listen to this, a child is an heir, right? You own the business. I don't work for God, I work with God. There's a difference. We're on the same team. In our Rock 101 class, we explain our church doctrine and governing and everything about it. We talk about membership, and we have this little membership covenant, right? And as a member of the Rock Community Church, I will invest my relationships, right? Develop authentic, loving relationships with others in the church and establish significant relationships with those who do not know Jesus. Two, I will invest my passions, honoring my God by following Christ personally and passionately. My reputation is Christ's reputation and the church's reputation. Three, I invest my talents. I participate in the life of the congregation through genuine worship, sharing, learning, and serving. Four, I invest my resources. I support the gospel here and worldwide by tithing and then by giving more as the Lord leads. I invest my time, my skills, my talents, and gifts in and through the church. Listen, the deal is, if Kim and I become your pastors and the Rock becomes your church, then these chairs aren't our chairs. They're your chairs. This carpet is not our carpet, it's your carpet, right? The drums aren't our drums or Jimmy's drums, they're your drums. This is your stuff. Because I'm convinced when people see this stuff as theirs, yours, you treat it differently. So when you leave today and you see a piece of paper on the ground, it's not our paper. It's not my paper. It's your paper. It's your paper. Pick it up, right? Because this is your church. This is your church. And if you see a visitor wandering around, they're not our visitor. They're your visitor because this is your house. And there's an obligation to say, can I help you? Do you have any questions? That's why we don't have you sign the membership covenant. Because I don't want your signature. I want your heart. Romans 8:17 says, now if we are children, then we are heirs. Heirs of God. And co-heirs with Christ. God wants you to become a part of everything He has. Everything He has, He wants you to have. God wants to bless you in enormous ways, ways you can't even imagine. Not so you can keep it to yourself, but as the family of God, as His kids, as a part of the family business, we can go and give it to others. We are blessed to be a blessing to the world and to those around us. God wants you to have, more than you need so that you can be a blessing to others. I'm a blessing to others. You're a blessing to others. I'm an heir. You're an heir to the family of God. A son. A daughter. You know, the grace of God doesn't give you a license, as I said last week, to do whatever you want. But His grace, His love, gives the desire and the power to do His will. Look at Philippians 2. Philippians 2 says, "Dear friends, you always followed my instructions when I was with you. And now that I'm away, it's even more important. Work hard to show the results of your salvation, obeying God with deep reverence and fear." And I love this. "For God is working in you, giving you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him." To do what pleases Him. The desire and the power. You're not doing this Christianity thing because you have to, but because you want to. It's a relationship with God. And He gives you the desire and the power to do what pleases Him. Here's the third difference. A slave is driven by duty, right? You're driven by duty. You know, like, oh my goodness. I got to read the Bible again. Money says, read your Bible. All right. Read your Bible. Read your Bible. Duty, oh my goodness. How long? How many times are you going to say that? Right? Or you know, pray, right? Oh my, I got to pray. My prayer, he's not even answering my prayer. You know, complaining. Or even in serving, right? We have, you know, where we go serve somewhere. Hey, meet us out here, you know, it's a, you know, on this Saturday and we'll serve together. That's my day. Right? And we think this is not a relationship, that it's this kind of slave thing, that I'm driven by duty. I used to think that's what tithing was all about, right? Get my little envelope, check. Yeah, I read my Bible once. Anybody ever lie on that little, you old people, you ever lie on that little envelope? You read your Bible every day? Yeah. You pray? Yeah. You bring your tithe? And I thought, it's a duty, right? That's what I'm supposed to do. And it wasn't until I was 20-something that I realized, no, it's not a duty. I do those things out of my love for Him. I'm a child of God. I'm a son of my Heavenly Father. I'm an heir with Christ. So a child is driven by devotion. Devotion. Oh, God, I love you so much. There's a picture in Luke 10. The students studied it a little bit this past week, that I think gives just a picture of this kind of attitude of being a child, being devoted. Luke 10, 38-42, it says that Jesus and the disciples were on their way. He came to a village where a woman named Martha opened her home to Him. She had a sister called Mary who sat at the Lord's feet listening to what He said. But Martha was distracted by all the preparations that had to be made. She came to Him and asked, and Lord, she didn't think. We love Martha. Right? So we learned that this week. Lord, don't you care? My sister has left me to do work by myself. Tell her to help me. Martha, Martha. The Lord answered. He said, you are worried and upset about many things. I know that. I understand that. I want to be here with you. But listen, only one thing is needed, and that's me, my presence. You see, your sister Mary, she has chosen right now what is better. And I'm not going to take that away from her. Choose what's best. Be in relationship. Be devoted. Galatians 4, verse 8 says, formerly, when you did not know God, you were slaves to those who by nature are not gods. But now that you know God, or rather known by God, how is it that you are turning back to those weak and miserable principles? Do you wish to be enslaved by them all over again? Paul's saying, come on. He wants to be in a relationship with you. Don't go back to that slavery, that yoke of slavery. And so, how do we do that? How do we live with that kind of freedom? Well, the first thing is you've got to know God. You've got to know God. The theme this week at camp was, there's no place like home. And so we were just talking about building this spiritual house, you know, and how do we do that? And so Bob the Builder actually showed up. Bob the Builder and his sidekick Scoop came, right? And the first thing he told him, he said, listen, after he got by past teaching him about how to build a house, he started talking to him about how to build this spiritual house. He said, it begins by knowing God, right? But you can't just know him here. Because if all you do is know him here, if it's all just knowledge, if all week all we did was pump knowledge into these, it wouldn't mean anything. They'd come back home and it would just been a camp. But if you get that knowledge to go from here to here, Bob told him, if it just stays here, you're going to miss. Bob took his measuring tape out and said, you're going to miss God by 18 inches. You're going to miss this unbelievable relationship unless you get this stuff up here, down into here. So the first thing you got to do is you got to see God as Father, right? I mean, when you come to God, what does he look like to you? Who is he to you? Your view of God will determine your relationship with God. So you start with your eyes. Matthew 7, verses 9 through 11 says, which of you, if his son asks for bread, will give him a stone? Or if he asks for a fish, will give him a snake? If you, then though you are evil, know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give good gifts to those who ask him? You see, Jesus was revolutionizing this group's mindset. He wasn't this one that was just going to send lightning bolts, right? Getting ready to strike you. He's not this cosmic policeman, right? That kind of lords over you, waiting for you to make a mistake. And I think some of you maybe didn't have maybe a good relationship with your father, and so that kind of confuses the situation, and Satan uses that relationship that you had with your earthly father and deceives you into putting those, you know, same kind of feelings and memories, you know, onto your heavenly father. Don't do that. We do that a lot, right? We view God a lot of times by the way we view other people. But he wants to be your father. He wants you to be his child. He wants to use your relationship to grow you. And so when you pray, do you use names like Lord or Master or King all the time? Instead of using words like Father, Daddy, Abba, Papa? We must see him differently. Matthew 3 says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, I love this. This is the way he sees his son is the way, because we are co-heirs, right? It's the way he sees us. He says, as soon as Jesus was baptized, he went up out of the water, and at that moment, heaven was open, and he saw the Spirit of God descending like a dove and alighting on him. And a voice from heaven said, God, he said, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. And you begin to think about that, that the Father was declaring over his son what every human heart really wants to know, right? It's what you and I want to know. The truth that helps us understand that he is a good father. The truth that I am loved. I am a child of God. And he is pleased with me. Let's say that together one time, all right? Do this with me together. I am loved. I am a child of God. and he is pleased with me. Yeah. I am loved. I am a child of God. And he is pleased with me. If you begin to understand that truth, that good news, or when you begin to understand that you are loved and you are a child of God and he is pleased with you, you'll walk into a room differently. You'll kind of hold your head up because of that truth. You might even get a little strut like Coach Mays. Have I got that down? Not in a prideful way, but just in a confident way that, wow, I am loved. I am a child of God. And he is pleased with me. You can wake up every morning and look at yourself in the mirror, and even with your stinky breath, look at yourself in all of your glory, and you can say, I am loved. I am a child of God, and he is pleased with me. And if everything you do, you run it through that truth, that is who you are, it will change you. And I get it. You're saying, Monty, I don't think he would say that about me. Because I haven't done anything. Listen to this. It's not about your performance. Did you notice in that passage? I mean, Jesus hadn't even started his ministry yet. Yet when God said that about him, it's not about performance. It's about your position. It's about your proximity. It's about your relationship that you have with him through what Jesus Christ did for you. You are loved. If you are a follower of him, if you said yes to him, you are loved. You are a child of God, and he is pleased with you. And so instead of looking at your anxieties, instead of looking at your anxieties, your worries, your circumstances, instead, look today to the good of the Father. Define and declare in your life that in the face of my worries, in the face of my anxieties, in the face of my fears, I will choose to trust his love and the provision of the good Father. You got to see him as Father. Second, we got to approach God through relationship, not rules. How many of you have rules at your house? Or had rules at your house? Yeah. I had rules in my home growing up. They were about 1,000 of them. I kind of eliminated some of those in my family. But right? We had rules about, we had asking rules. When you could ask, when you cannot ask, right? We had money rules. We had curfew rules. Right? But sometimes you get the favor of the Father. You parents, you ever had them come to you and you're busy doing something, right? And you're saying, okay, just a minute. You finally get through with what you're doing. He goes, okay, what do you want? Because you know they want something, right? They don't ever come to you just to say, hey, Dad, I love you. No, they want something. We're smarter than that, right? But have you ever had them come to you and you say, okay, what do you want? Okay, I'm ready for you. What do you want? Nothing. Just want to hang out with you, Daddy-O. Shoot some hoops. Throw the ball. What? You just want to hang out with me? And it changes you. What do you want, Hunter? What do you want, son? You know, I'll give you everything I have. Right? Because he approached me differently. We need relationship back into our prayer life. Does that make sense? We need relationship back into our worship life. We need relationship back into our serving others. So instead of doing it out of duty, as an employee or for our master kind of attitude, we understand that we're his child We are in relationship with Him. John 5, Jesus says, you diligently study the Scriptures because you think that by them you possess eternal life. And He says, hey, these are the Scriptures that testify about me. Yet you refuse to come to me and have life. You see, the goal is to find Jesus, right? Kim taught our students this week, you know, that when you're reading the Bible, studying God's Word, the goal is to look for Jesus. You know, find Jesus and then run to that place and say, okay, what? You know, now that I see Jesus there, how's that change me? What do I need to do? In your prayer, it's to spend time with Jesus. When you serve others, Jesus is the goal. To find Jesus. How do you approach God? And then third, if we're going to live this life of freedom, live in relationship with our God, we got to give God our whole heart, to go all in, to give Him everything, to fall in love with God by going all in. It's not just 99%, but it's 100%. Jeremiah 29:13 says, you will seek me and find me when you seek me with all of your heart. He says, I will be found by you, declares the Lord. You give Him part of your heart, and you'll never find Him. You must go all in. You know, I talk about my dad a lot, and I guess I also talk about my mom a lot, right? My relationship with mom was different than my relationship with dad. I've shared with you, I was a mama's boy, and my relationship with mom goes very deep into my heart. Again, I was a mama's boy. She's in my heart. I mean, my dad, you know, led me to the Lord. He taught me how to throw and catch, right? But you see athletes on TV when they're interviewed, and you know, what are the first thing they do? They say, hi, mom. What's up with that, right? What's up with that? Have you noticed you can talk about your mom, but don't let someone else talk about her? Right? No way. Remember when it was the cool thing to say, your mama? Your mom. No, don't talk about my mama that way. What is that? Well, she was in my heart, right? My mom was my prayer warrior. And so at one time when we were taking care of her and she was in a rehab center, she was scared to stay by herself, and so I stayed with her there all night, right? And sitting in the chair trying to sleep, and she begins to talk. She would begin to talk sometimes at night, and she wakes up or almost wakes up, and she cried out, you know, to me, Monty, help me. Don't leave me. So I kind of crawl up in the bed and get in the bed with her and say, hi, I'm here, Mom, I'm here. I mean, I was going to be there because she's in my heart. And I so want each one of you to have that type of relationship with your Heavenly Father, where you say, I'm all in. There's nothing I won't do for Him because He's in my heart. He's in my heart. I don't read the Bible out of duty, but out of my devotion to Him. I want to know more about Him. I want to hear Him more. I don't serve Him because I'm an employee. No, I'm an heir to everything He has. So the church matters to me because it matters to Him. People matter to me because they matter to Him. I want to do everything I can because he is my father, my daddy, my papa, my Abba, my friend, my Lord. God, you are the one I love. And so I'm all in. So I thought if I put this message in one sentence, here it is. Relationship changes everything. How do you see your God? How do you approach him? And are you going to give him all of your heart? Relationship changes everything. Pray with me, please. Every head bowed, and let me just say, don't move around. You know, nobody needs to leave. I finished a little bit early. And the reason I say this is because this is where people make decisions. God's at work in us, giving us both the power and the desire to live out what he has called us to. So, Father, I pray, help us to choose freedom every day. Not out of duty, God. Not as an employee, but because of our relationship with you, O God. That's my prayer for you. For you to know him and to be known by him. And so maybe for you this morning, your prayer just needs to be, God, I need a relationship with you. God, I need to change from slave to your son or to your daughter. God, here, right now, I want to be a child of God. A son and a daughter. Will you pray that right now? Would you allow the knowing about your God in your head to move to your heart? And right where you sit, confess to him that you want him to be your Lord, your Savior, your friend, your Father, your Abba. So right now, say, God, come in, be my Father, be my Lord, be my Savior. Father, forgive me of my sins. Begin to change me from creation to your child. For others, maybe your prayer is, God, to be honest, I need my relationship to change. And so right now, give me both the desire and the power to live to you, to live for you. Just say this to your Father. Today, God, I give my whole life to you. I'm going all in. 100%, God. God, may I see you as my Father that wants to be in relationship and walk with me every step. God, may I always have the confidence to approach you and cry out to you and seek you, Father, as my Abba, knowing that you are going to give me direction, you're going to guide my path. Father, may I today give you my whole heart. Father, you've heard the prayers of your people. Father, bring them into a forever relationship with you. God, if they're returning back to you, wrap them in your arms. Give them your forgiveness. Restore them into a right relationship with you, O God. And Father, as we step into this new week, may we be different because we are your child. In Jesus' name I pray.